If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at CaliforniaPsychics.com.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
From 2400 Sports, Odyssey, and Major League Baseball, this is the PBP Voices of Baseball.
We bring you the people who bring you the game.
Hello, 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 baseball people, and welcome back in to the PBP Voices of Baseball. I'm Matt Spiegel. Short little intro because this is a long conversation, but boy, it's a good one. Mike Monaco has done a tremendous amount at a very young age, and you can hear why in the work and in his perspective. And I really, really enjoyed this conversation. We get to the College World Series. We get to some White Sox conversation. We get to a whole bunch of Red Sox conversation, including his youth there and his, oh my God, how did I get here moment in the television booth. And so much good stuff with Mike Monaco. Let's listen in together. Let's enjoy together. And we'll see you on Thursday as well for the PBP Top 5. A reminder that you can email me, pbptop5@gmail.com, or find me on Twitter at Matt Spiegs, S-P-I-E-G-S, to get one of the great calls of this week into the PBP Top 5. But here he is, Mike Monaco of the Red Sox radio and TV booths, and so much more. All right, Mike Monaco, would you please list for me all the sports that you have done? Because I want to talk baseball, and you're great at baseball, and this podcast is a love letter to the craft of baseball play-by-play. But I just rattle off some variety for me so I understand what we're dealing with here.
Okay, current sports for ESPN: baseball, football, basketball, hockey, and tennis, and almost in like that chronological order of doing those sports for the company. Previously, sports I've done: lacrosse, wrestling, volleyball, one-time fencing broadcaster as a student at Notre Dame, a couple-time boxing announcer as a student at Notre Dame. They have an annual like student boxing tournament that's been going on forever. Bengal bouts, and
hell yeah,
Baraka bouts too, men's and women's. So those sports, what else? Yeah, plenty of like soccer, softball, men's and women's lacrosse. I'm trying to think. I haven't done like swimming or track and field, anything like that. But yeah, certainly some variety.
All right, that's pretty good. A friend of mine whose name rhymes with Boog Shambi says you are just flat out stealing when you do tennis. Says tennis is just like just what you just set up the point and then lay out, and they want you to lay out. What does he not understand about the difficulties of doing tennis?
Boog and I just had this conversation, and he knows his tennis. What does he not understand? No, he's got a pretty good handle on it there. It's interesting, like doing play-by-play.
Yeah.
You're not doing play-by-play. You're not talking during the point. So, like, by definition, the play-by-play announcer calling tennis is not doing play-by-play. There's a fair amount of analysis that is kind of imbued in the so-called play-by-play in tennis because you've just watched the point. And then you're kind of backtracking to like determine what happened. And if you have like a 20 shot rally, which of those moments within that are you going to pick out for the immediate kind of description after the fact before the analyst jumps in? I don't pretend to be a tennis play by play expert by any means. I am 13 months into broadcasting tennis, and I've been lucky enough to do four majors, but four tournaments is the only experience I have doing it, but it's been really fun to learn and to try to, in all seriousness, answer those questions of, okay, like what value can I add if I am not doing, you know, like hockey for me by comparison, you're describing almost every touch of the puck in a way that kind of sounds like radio on TV. So the total opposite of that, you're not talking at all during the action.
What an interesting dichotomy that is to think about hockey versus tennis. So where does baseball fall in among all of these in terms of that balance of how much is description and how much is allowing for the space?
I think radio, which I'm doing right now, I saw you at Wrigley doing radio for the Red Sox. I'm sitting here in this lovely hotel room in Philly, getting ready for Red Sox Phillies. I think on the radio, it's very much hockey like where you're, you know, every pitch, every swing, like some people are different. You know, they might say the 2-2, a line drive in a right field. Like I always say the swing, you know, or swung on or swinging a ground ball. I just think you need in your mind to hear every step when you're listening on the radio, at least for me. And that's kind of the way I was taught and did it in the minor leagues coming up. TV, I would say, is probably, yeah, somewhere in between. Like there are moments where you're not describing the 3-0 fastball that ends up making it 3-1 and everyone knew there wasn't a green light. So you're not describing everything. What I love about baseball on TV is it just feels like you're trying to put puzzle pieces together. Like when do we do description? When do we really dive into pitch sequencing here in an important at bat? And did a guy double up on a 2-strike slider? And when do we try to tell a story and work in concert with the producer and graphics and the camera crew to get a shot of the third base coach and tell a story about the third base coach? I really loved that about baseball on TV because the pace allows for that. But then radio is different. Like it flexes different muscles. And I'm sure plenty of people have said this to you before, but there's something so artful about any sport play-by-play on the radio, but I think especially baseball. And so I love the challenge of trying to very quickly and in the moment describe every single thing that's happening, you know, or every relevant thing. And your mind is kind of picking and choosing and sorting through that as you go.
Yeah, no, I think that's well articulated, the difference there. And it's, you know, so TV is more of a team endeavor, isn't it?
Totally feel like it is compared to radio where nothing happens unless or until you say it happens, you know, and it, you know, you have your partner with you, you have a producer, an engineer, and otherwise it's just kind of take it where you want it, you know, start describing what Wrigley Field looks like or tell a story about the pitcher, the hitter, whoever, you know, or talk about what's happening around the league. Whereas, yeah, I feel like TV is way more in concert with a lot of different moving parts and people in your ear and looking around and figuring out the right time to do something, kind of reading body language. I find both incredibly satisfying.
Really cool. Who's a broadcaster you admired in your youth, Mike Monaco?
Many. Definitively a broadcasting nerd in many ways, and have spent a lot of time listening to a bunch of people. Once I figured out I wanted to do this, grew up on the Red Sox. We can certainly share an affinity there. So all the Red Sox broadcasters growing up. But then, you know, once I really, really got into this, a lot of people that have been very helpful to me, Adam Amin, Jason Benetti, Sean McDonough, have been super encouraging. Brian Anderson was really nice when I was living in Chicago early on. Boog has become just a wonderful friend, like he is to many, and fortunate to know him too. There's a ton, but yeah, like growing up, all the signature voices that we've all heard, like watching the NFL and hearing Pat Summerall, like I can still hear his voice in my head, you know, describing in such a measured tone a play in a football game and an NFL game that you tune into. So like that's a really early memory. Jim Nantz between college basketball and football for me has been like a voice you hear a ton of, like everyone. And I think it's such cool, like, industry for me, like relatively young in this and was trying to figure this out in college. Like you can just go and pull up a game from whoever it is that you want to listen to, current or past. And there's not that many industries where the work like of the people who do it best is just publicly available like that, you know, and you can see what they're doing and how they called a certain moment. So I find that really, really enjoyable to just see how different people call things. And then you figure out, all right, how do I want to do it myself? And I can try this that's new and try to put this into my broadcasting or, you know, go a certain direction. So I think it's a really neat career in that regard where you have all this accessible public examples of people who do it really well.
Did you find yourself doing an impression of different broadcasters at the beginning? Was it an amalgam of people? Like, how did that work for you?
No, I don't think I really did impressions early on. I was probably like
impressions is the wrong way to say it. Like, was there a time when you thought, oh, I guess I sound like myself now? Because that's the challenge, is to just sort of find yourself, isn't it?
Totally. I don't know when that was for me, but I'm sure early on, like it was probably very generic, stock standard cookie cutter of like call the pitch and do it in a slightly broadcastery voice. And I don't know when it was that you get more comfortable, not to say that I'm a finished product or totally comfortable. Like hopefully I'll always be evolving and hopefully if I can manage to, hopefully always improving. But no, there wasn't necessarily a time for that. I will say like early on, so I went and broadcast in the Cape Cod Baseball League. So like before minor league baseball, while I was still in college. So sophomore year, I figured out I wanted to do play-by-play. Summer after my sophomore year, I go to the Cape Cod League, broadcast games for the Wareham Gatemen, Kyle Schwarber's team at that point. Wow. Go back the next summer. But like the first summer that I was there, 2013, I was whispering and I had like no confidence to do this on the air and certainly not like developing my voice. I got a buddy who now does the pre and post game on the radio for the Padres, Sam Levitt. And he's like, dude, yeah, you whispered like your first year doing baseball. I just had no confidence and certainly did not have a fully formed voice, much less a style. Because like I was never, I mean, like not like a crazy introvert, but I was never like Mr. Extrovert class participation. But I've just loved the idea of the craft of broadcasting and of play-by-play. Like it was never like, oh, I want to be on TV. And like I cringe sometimes like looking at myself on TV or listening to your voice. You know, it's like when you hear your voice on a voicemail. So yeah, in terms of finding your voice, it did not happen immediately for me nor come naturally to me.
What do you love about it? What do you love about doing baseball play-by-play?
So many different things. For me, like I think like a lot of people, there's still like such a romanticism about baseball and walking into Wrigley Field. Like I get goosebumps when we're there with the Red Sox, like I do still every time I go into Fenway. So to try to describe kind of what you feel and what you felt throughout like your childhood, and I'm trying to like remember the magic of that. To describe the ivy or the pennants above a manual scoreboard in center field under, you know, slightly overcast skies, just to try to paint the picture for whoever's listening out there. I love. And then, you know, what I said earlier, like the storytelling component, like, okay, we've got a great story about a player that, you know, we're coming off doing the Men's College World Series at ESPN a few weeks ago. We sit down with five or six players per team, an hour for each team. So 8 straight hours of interviewing players. We talked to at least 40 players in total by the time it's over. So you come in with all these stories that you want to tell during the Men's College World Series, and to be like, okay, what's the best way I can tell this, you know, and what supporting evidence do we need? Like, did I ask the player, hey, would you mind sending us like a photo of this story you're telling us about when you were here as a fan 2 years ago? And then work with graphics and your whole production truck to try to get it in. And when's the time to do it? Like, is it the first at bat? Is it the second at bat? When's the right time to do it? Or trying to pull out like the right nugget in the big moment. You know, we had a no hitter in Omaha there. This guy from Arkansas who ended up being a first round pick, Gage Wood. It's like, okay, you know, when's the right time to drop in the nugget as his outing goes and to set up his fastball in the early going, and that ends up being an important pitch for him. And then later in the game, you know, put in context the fact that he was injured and missed a couple of months. Like, there's so many different ways to go about it, and not saying, you know, we always have the right answer to it, but to try to find the right way to bring these characters to life. And like, this applies to any sport, but I always think of it as like, hey, we're gonna go talk about someone's life for 3 hours, you know, so let's have information to talk about them. If someone was going to go talk about me for 3 hours, I would hope they have like good information, accurate information. So to try to like find all that stuff and then weave it into a broadcast, I love the puzzle component to it.
Man, Gage Wood gave you a gift in that way, because you probably got to use almost everything, or, you know, or at least all the stuff that you wanted to. Dude struck out 19 people, and it, you know, it's a wonderful final call too.
The 1-2, yeah. Swing and a miss! Greatness from Gage, a no-hitter.
And it's, you left a ton of space after the initial call, and then gave a little bit of context, and it's in terms of the history and who had done it. Even gotten close before, and how long it had been.
Only the third no-hitter in the history over 78 years of this event, and the first in 65 years.
I don't know what to say. I've never seen anything like that before.
I'm so glad you just happened to get there and bring up the entire 2-3 hours of an experience, because it can get minimized to that final call, but it's so much more than that. When you're doing the final call, you're putting a button on your whole afternoon.
And the other thing I would say, like, not only are you emptying everything you've got in telling all your stories over the course of, you know, 9 no-hit innings with 19 strikeouts, but you're also repeating stuff. And, you know, that changes based on what your medium is. Like, if you're the local radio call of Arkansas baseball, okay, maybe you assume like most people have been with you the whole time and know his story and that sort of thing. But when you're on ESPN in the postseason and ESPN is sending out, you know, the mobile notifications, no hitter alert, you have to assume that maybe a majority of the audience has not been with you for very long, if at all. You know, they might get the notification and tune in right for the end. So you're also repeating your best stuff, but you also kind of want to do it in a way that doesn't insult, you know, the diehard Arkansas fan who's been with Gage Wood for all of his entire career in Fayetteville. So it's a balance there for sure.
Yeah.
I appreciate you saying that about the call, but it's funny too. Like, I love going back and watching other people's stuff, but watching my own stuff too. And I wish I had put in like one more line right actually before the final pitch, like just something a little artistic kind of. Like, we had a drone shot that was, I think, looking down at the field. I think it was right before the final pitch. And just something like, I was playing it back in my head. Something like, you know, the eyes of history look down on Gage Wood. Just something to, like, set it up a little artistically, like I said. That would be my one nitpick with it.
I'm going to drop that in. I'm going to, you just said it. We were rolling on it. Going to amp it up a little bit. You want another take, or you feel good about that take?
No, you know what? I'll go with that. That was natural. We got AI, so if you need to match energy levels or something, you can do it, I'm sure.
All right, good. Thank you. I think I know what it was, but like an oh my God moment, an oh my God, how did I get here moment in the Red Sox booth. I just want to hear you talk about it, though, because it's, I mean, even just the visual of it, I'm like, look at those three people together, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, first time I did the Red Sox, September of 2019. I was in my third year working for their AAA team, the Pawtucket Red Sox. And Dave O'Brien, who's awesome and has been doing it radio and TV at such a high level for so long, plus his national work, he was doing college football. And that was going to be his first year doing it for the newly launched, at the time, ACC Network. So I think it was like four of us did a couple games when he was missing. And I got to do two against the Orioles right at the end of the year. And yeah, that was like the pinch me walking into a booth with the late Jerry Remy, who we all miss all the time, and Dennis Eckersley, who is absolutely one of a kind. And those guys could not have been more welcoming to me. And I've said this a bunch, but, you know, Eck said something to the effect before the game to me of like, you do you, like, we'll be there with you. And Jerry reiterated the same thing. Like, they were all on board of, hey man, like, we're here to help you, you know, make it sound like you belong and make it feel like you're comfortable. But yeah, sitting in that booth, like everything from the Nesson backdrop behind us with like, I forget what it was at the time, but probably like probably sponsored by Duncan, like the wallpaper in the booth behind us, and just the vantage point looking out. And I remember going up, it's like a two-level booth, so you go back up kind of toward the hallway to sit up top and shoot the open. I remember going up there and holding the mic and looking at the mic flag and, you know, having my suit on, and I picked out, you know, my best suit and tie combo for this game, and probably got a haircut earlier in the week, you know, like all excited for it. And I look like I'm a 12-year-old, but it was so fun. And, you know, those games did not really matter a whole lot at the end of that season. But it was awesome. At the time you had the 40-man roster and, you know, could have anyone on that major league roster at the end of the season. And it was actually a lot of guys who had been with us in AAA because they had gotten called up at the end of the year. So, I mean, the amount also of like prep that I had done, not just on the Red Sox players, but on the Orioles too, is kind of laughable in hindsight, like compare it to the level of preparation I would have on, you know, the Phillies players for tonight. Like, I probably could have told you the life story of all 40 guys on the Orioles roster at that point, just like ready to go in case a guy was 4-for-4 with four home runs. Like, I was treating this like it was Game 6 and Game 7 of the World Series.
You're supposed to, though. You're supposed to, though. And yeah, it probably helped you relax, you know. It's in that regard now, with years of experience now, but that same, you know, sort of prep anxiety that all of us can relate to, is there something that you have to do before every game, one part of your prep where you're like, man, if I don't do this, I feel naked when first pitch comes?
Yeah, it's different for every sport, but obviously we're talking baseball. Well, for like Red Sox, for local games, definitely listening to what Alex Cora says before the game and going in person and listening to his media availability at home. It's in the, you know, press conference room, and on the road, it's usually in the visiting dugout, just to know what's going on that day. Like, I think, especially when you're doing a team where there's coverage every single day, you have to know what the latest news items are. So that for me is a big one.
And do you read his, you know him now. So like, you read his body language, you read the way he talks about it, know some subtext that you can choose to share or not share, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, like we talked about it a little bit on Sunday with Garrett Crochet. You know, there was a start earlier this year against the Mets where they kind of intentionally used him shorter than what his other starts had been. And, you know, you go back and you replay the pregame comments in your head and you're like, all right, was there a little, you know, slight moment of the answer that indicates, okay, this might not be full strength today. You look for those things. And Alex is an awesome communicator and a phenomenal manager. And he's super honest with stuff like that. So you don't really need to dig. But yeah, the more you're around it. And for me, this is the most in a season that I've done of Red Sox games in 1 year. So I'm more familiar with the routines of everything, but certainly in what, you know, is said in press conferences and media availabilities. So that's a big one for me. I would say just also like for the visiting team, just to spin through everyone's baseball reference page. I mean, I've been doing that since I first covered Major League Baseball. Like, I have my routine down of kind of how I go through a baseball reference page and what I pick out. And it's just
Oh, that's interesting, because that's a top five website in the history of humankind. You know, it's I don't even know what IMDb. I mean, like, I'm not sure, but like, so what is your circuitous path through somebody's baseball reference page? What do you do?
Yeah, let me pull it up right here. So I'm doing Red Sox, Phillies, like I said tonight. Zach Wheeler's pitching. So Zach Wheeler baseball reference. It's just so my eyes first go to his age. Okay, 35-year-old right-hander. Then I look at the contract. Okay, you know, first year of a three-year, $126 million deal. Go down to standard pitching. All right, 11th year, three-time All-Star. I see the three stars. Oh, wow, it's a 2.36 ERA. It's another year. You know, okay, this is, you know, six great years in a row. Can quickly say, going back to the 2020 season, you know, since he first went to the Phillies, then go down to transactions, you know, yada, yada. Okay.
Carlos Beltran trade, right? Way back in
exactly,
the day.
Exactly. Oh, 21, right before the deadline, dealt for Beltran. It's like pretty quickly you have a decent handle on the guy, you know, and at least a starting point of, okay, what's interesting? And then, you know, depending on who you're broadcasting the game for and how much time I have in my life, like how much of a deep dive on each player can you afford? But like that type of thing I would do for anyone, you know, I would do it for Justin Turner, who just started one game of the three-game series at Wrigley, or you would do for Pete Crow Armstrong. And of course, go way deeper than that. But for me, that's just like the starting point. So like an example, back in, 2020 or 2021, when I was living in Chicago, Jason Benetti got COVID. And on very short notice, like a few hours, I filled in for him on the White Sox broadcast with Steve Stone. And it was truly like I found out at lunchtime that I was doing the game that night, and I had never broadcast for the White Sox before. So it's like, okay, in 3 hours of prep, like what is the most valuable stuff? And so it was like a spin through baseball reference pages really quickly. It was diving deep on both starting pitchers, because at least then that can take up a good chunk of time. I always put on like the most recent games that a team played on MLB TV and listen to that in the background just to hear whatever, just like osmosis of pronunciations and maybe storylines. Or, you know, let's say I was doing a start that night of, I don't know, at the time, Lucas Giolito. Okay, go back 5 days to his last start and just hear what Steve Stone was talking about in that last start. And then, okay, when we get going that night, you can be like, hey, you know, Stoney, you talked about this his last time out. His slider looked really good. Just to like really quickly have a framework of what's going on and what's important. But yeah, like yeah. I love what you said about prep anxiety, because I certainly can relate to that. And I would imagine a lot of people can.
And some of that anxiety is a good thing. It makes you, it makes you get ready, makes you work. You crushed it during that time, during that White Sox time. And in Chicago, people were like, oh, okay, this guy's ready. Do you remember a moment? Do you remember a game or a moment from that where you're like, man, that felt pretty comfortable, having, whether it was that day when you had 3 hours or whether it was, you know, later on in that run?
My nerves were based on just not knowing the team as well as I would want to know a team when I go into broadcast, just purely based on the time spent. But then there's also a part of that that's kind of freeing, and you're like, there's nothing else I could have done. You know, you didn't have the choice to spend more time, and you're debating, oh, do I sleep or do I do something in my personal life? Or, you know, what, you're not making the choice. You just don't have a choice to make. So there's something a little freeing with that. But
you ever heard Dave Raymond's story about the Matt Cain perfect game?
No.
He was hanging out with Willie Mays, and Willie wouldn't stop talking to him. And he's not going to interrupt Willie Mays. So it's pregame. He ends up talking to Willie Mays for like an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And he's frantic, and he goes up and he realizes he's done no prep. He literally has nothing written down. And he sits down for pitch number one, and Matt Cain throws a perfect game. And he says it's like one of the greatest day in baseball, because he had no choice but to just let it fly and live in it. And he knew the teams well enough. He knew the moments well enough. And there's a lesson in there, right? If you're immersed enough, if you're embedded, then you can survive, and it might even be better.
That's really cool. And I think there's totally something to be said for, and I'm guilty of over preparing for sure. I think there's something to be said for, you know, instead of looking down at your book or at your laptop, like look out at the field. What do you see? you know, or at your monitor, and you're, if you're doing it on TV and watching every pitch, like off the monitor, like just follow your eyes and what you see and live in the moment and like be emotionally invested. Steve Stone, like, could not have been more welcoming, made me feel comfortable. Same with the whole crew, like producer Chris Withers and everyone was awesome. So I think they went a long way to making me feel comfortable. For me, I think like a lot of times when I get through the open of a TV broadcast, then like nerves for the most part, like dissipate. So I think getting through an open anytime, it's okay. We're good. Like, you can breathe, get into this thing. We had a game where Jose Abreu, I believe it was a walk-off home run in a White Sox home game, obviously. I want to say it was against the Yankees. That was one where I was like, okay, you know, I've been doing the Red Sox, but okay, I know my way around the White Sox a little bit. And, you know, that was a really fun time with how well the White Sox were playing at that time.
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Two, Abreu skies it! Left field! Tie ball game! Are you kidding me?
So
those
are a couple of the ones that work out in my mind. But yeah, really, I mean, this sounds cliche, but like the people, you know, like if Steve Stone is not welcoming to me or Chris Withers or anyone on that crew, like it doesn't really feel comfortable. It's totally dependent on them welcoming you in and trying to be good partners and colleagues.
How about now? Is there a moment from this season that you've gotten to do these Red Sox games that felt really good in terms of the preparation coming together and the comfort level, and hot damn, that was fun. Cause this is a good team. This is a good team. And that you can tell the love affair is kind of back in bloom a little bit. I thought over the weekend that you and I just shared, you know, you can see the love affair between the Wrigley fans and with the Red Sox fans, like both teams, both venerable organizations are in a pretty, pretty cool moment right now.
Really cool. We kept talking about with Will Fleming, the voice of the Red Sox on radio. We kept talking about how awesome would this World Series be if you had these two. As he said, that was his fetish on air over the weekend. We were just thinking about that. But for me this year, I did a road trip on TV filling in for Obi in May. It was Royals and then Tigers. And those were good games, and there were close games in Kansas City. Unfortunately, the Red Sox got walked off a bunch, but the Red Sox had an awesome, awesome offensive display against Tarek Skubal. Willier Abreu and Seidon Rafaela combined on this crazy robbery catch in right center in Detroit. So those moments kind of flashed to mind. Just good, close games.
First pitch swinging, vaulted high and deep to right. Abreu's back at the track. Abreu, Rafaela combined to make the catch. Are you kidding? Off Abreu's glove and a basket catch from Seidon.
Have you ever seen anything like this
in your life?
It's a really fun time. There's a huge buzz around this team, even though they made the playoffs in 21. Yeah, I think this feels a little different, and asking Will and others, the people who've been there every single day, asking kind of how it feels comparatively. 21, there wasn't this same feeling of a 10-game winning streak with all these young, high-potential players coming up in maybe the same way. 2018 was different because Red Sox were just dominant right from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Every season has a different feel. The Red Sox have built up a ton of interest, like, for how they're doing, and they've kind of built themselves a margin for error and that sort of thing. But they're playing really well. But yeah, this is a tough stretch they're in.
All right, this is really just for me. Best Red Sox game that you watched as a kid in the stadium?
Ooh, in the stadium. I got to figure out the exact game. It was 07, J.D. Drew Grand Slam, ALCS. So that was game 6.
In the air to center, well hit. Back is Sizemore. Grand Slam, Drew.
My uncle, God rest his soul, my uncle Joey took me, my sister, and one of my cousins to the game, and we got bleacher seats and saw the Red Sox right from the beginning explode. As part of what ends up being a World Series theme, J.D. Drew, Grand Slam. I have so many memories from going to Fenway. I still remember, it must have been the first time I was ever at Fenway, because it was the first time I ever got autographs from anyone. And former famous third base coach Wendell Kim.
Waving Wendell. We had him here too. Yeah.
Yeah. Wave him in, Wendell. Him and Jason Veritek were my sister and my first autographs. And I still remember Jason Veritek. We were so nervous to go up and ask, the captain for his autograph. And I remember him saying to us, like, you got to smile if you want an autograph, because you could tell we were so nervous and was just trying to, loosen up two kids. And now you get to sit behind him on the bus or on the plane.
Just to show my age, Nolan Ryan versus Roger Clemens. I was underneath the diamond vision and straightaway center at Fenway. And Mike Greenwell hooked two homers around Pesky's pole. Ryan threw inside on Ellis Burks at one point, and Burks got out and pointed the bat at him. Place went freaking nuts. And then Ellis got back in and hit an RBI single to take the lead. And that same at bat, place was up for grabs. I've told Ellis that, and he's like, oh yeah, oh, that was a good one. don't you love when players, they remember all those moments, don't they? It's astonishing, isn't it, when you bring it up to them?
They totally do. Ellis, who I've done some games with back when he was doing games for us at Nesson, what a nice guy he is. Seeing that fire from him, I'm sure would stick with you forever. People remember stuff. I remember doing playoff game a couple years ago with Todd Frazier, and Aroldis Chapman came in, and Todd was recalling on air, he remembers getting smoked off a knee that I think Todd had maybe just had surgery on or something. But like, the knee was not in perfect shape to begin with, and he gets smoked by 99 or 103 or whatever it is from Chapman. And like, hearing him retell it, like, he could still feel it. And it's like, okay, what better, story could we have for describing what it's like seeing Chapman on the mound when you're in the box?
Yeah, that's amazing. Is there an item that you bring into the booth no matter what? Can be a good luck charm, a talisman of some kind, or anything that has to be there that must be with you as you call a baseball game?
Definitely my scorebook. Although this is super nerdy, so many people are going now to scoring digitally in some way.
Yeah.
I haven't done that yet.
Good for you.
Pondering that. Yeah, I still
do. Oh boy, it's a big moment. So what do you use the Bob Carpenter scorebook or what do you use?
I do, yeah. I use the Bob Carpenter. I actually don't write anything in there except the lineup, like names, position, number, and then I put in the defense. I don't even put in the team's record. Everything else I just have up on my laptop in Word documents.
Okay.
So I already am, I guess, a little bit new school, but kind of with some old school still.
Yeah. No little lucky figurines, no little.
I'll give you this. So on a serious note, I like having my binoculars. Most people think of that for like football. I like having it to look out the bullpens or just look into a dugout and see an exchange or something like that. So I try to never forget my binoculars, though sometimes I do. But in terms of like luck or superstition or for me fidgeting, I fidget with like a pen the whole time. So I don't have that one with me, but I've got this pen here. And even like right now talking, I'm like spinning it, holding the cap. Like you could probably ask like any broadcast partner that I've worked with multiple times and they'd be like, oh yeah, like now that you say it, or they've already thought about it, they'd be like, yeah, I'm doing this, I'm like spinning the pen through my fingers. I have this brand of pens that I love, Muji, M-U-J-I, and they're just like an elite pen, and they're not expensive by any means. There's a store of them near me, they sell a bunch of like odds and ends. It's an Asian company of some sort. And love it. Absolutely love it. And just am fidgeting with the pen the whole time. So like I'll hold the pen in the open because like if we're on camera, if it's a TV broadcast, like it is kind of like, what do I do with my hands sometimes? When I was in college, I was think I was facing that question. I saw like Mike Tirico does that with like a pen or a highlighter, that sort of thing. I actually don't know if I ever asked him about that. Now I probably will if I meet him. But like holding a pen is like a comfort zone type of thing for me. So it's not a figurine. It's just a writing utensil.
No, that's good. The Muji pen. Marty Brenneman told me that he used to love the number one pencil, which I didn't know existed, but of course it did. Cause it's not like the two just came out of nowhere, you know? And they stopped producing the number one, and he used to buy them by the case just to make sure that he didn't run out of them. So
it's phenomenal.
Yeah. So we'll add the Muji pen to that.
You got to try it, Matt.
I will next time. I'll give you an address. All right, I can probably find it online. I'll buy it myself. That's okay.
No. Next time I'm in Chicago, I'm coming armed with some.
Any moment that we didn't mention from a baseball broadcast for you that just jumps out that you're like, man, I loved that at this point in your career? I know I asked about this year and I asked about early, but there's been a lot in between.
Well, I'll say this. Last night when we got to our hotel in Philly, a bunch of us were hanging out in the lobby and talking to Will Fleming and Dave O'Brien and hearing them talk about a recent walk-off home run from Seydon Rafaela made it at the time an 8-game winning streak for the Red Sox, ended up being as long as 10. And they were kind of talking about like feeling Fenway reverberate.
Swing and a draw!
Hey, I'm gum disease. You may know me by my formal name, periodontal disease. No? I can't believe this. No respect. Same story everywhere I go. Over half of all adults in America live with me, and they act like they don't even know I exist. I mean, come on. Whole body health? I am gum disease. I am literally linked to almost every major disease. Diabetes, heart disease, Alzheimer's. You can't just ignore me.
Find a dentist near you committed to caring about all of you. Visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
That is just so cool to hear them talk about. And for me, I think probably the closest example I have to that with the Red Sox was 2021. This was a September game. They had battled injuries and all this kind of stuff, and they were pretty resilient. They're playing Cleveland at the time, and Rafael Devers, long at bat. It's like the seventh inning. He hits a, I think, go-ahead home run up to the monster. And for me, that was still pretty early in my time getting to fill in on these Red Sox games on TV. Just hearing that was like a, whoa, this is the big leagues and this is the Red Sox fan base type of moment.
Two on for Devers in the seventh. 3-2 pitch, and Devers drills it. Left center field. Gone! He is incredible.
I guess the other one is probably that comes to mind with baseball is College World Series 2022, which was my first year there. And I was filling in for Carl Ravitch on game two in a best of three championship series, Oklahoma and Ole Miss, because it was a Sunday game. Ravi was doing Sunday night baseball. And so I would jump in at the time on game two of the championship series, even though he's the lead voice. And it ended up being the national championship winning game for Ole Miss. So wow. I woke up that day, and it's an interesting thing, like game two in a three-game series. It's like, okay, this could be nothing. Not nothing, but this could be not a national championship. It could be game three back tomorrow, which in other years when I've done it, that's the way it's played out. Or it could be the national championship game. So I woke up that day, and I remember being like, you got to be ready to call Ole Miss's first national championship in program history. So that was pretty cool. And just trying to find the way to, you know, meet that moment for their fan base and that team and those family members, you know, like that's the best moment maybe of their lives.
1-2 pitch, struck him out from last four in to last team standing. Ole Miss has won the College World Series.
That's the pinnacle for them, you know? And it's like, yeah. Whoa, I really don't want to mess this up.
That's great stuff. Mike Monaco, pleasure, man. I'd always heard nothing but good things about you as a dude, and you can tell that that you're comfortable to work with, and all the success early on seems thoroughly warranted. So I'll have to be mad at somebody else, you know what I mean, for their success. I don't know who it's going to be, but it's not going to be you. So,
well, that's really nice, Matt. I told you this the other day, but having lived in Chicago for 5 years, very familiar with your work and a fan from afar. So it was nice to meet you. You probably saw my eyes lit up when you came in and introduced yourself. I was like, oh, this is awesome. But no, in all seriousness, I mean that. And thanks for having me on. It was really fun to dive deep on this stuff. You can tell, like I said, I'm a nerd for it. So I love to talk about it anytime.
Thanks, Mike. Ah, little mutual admiration never hurt anybody. He was really fun. Enjoyed getting to know Mike Monaco, that's for sure. Could have done that for hours with him. Thanks so much for listening to the PBP, Voices of Baseball. My producer is the great Robbie Triano. Our producer emeritus is Ryan Porth. We're almost done mentioning him at the end of episodes. My collaborator is James Vickery. The music comes from Kurt Morrison of Tributosaurus. This is an Odyssey podcast. Find us on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts, and on our YouTube page where you can see the PBP Top 5. The PBP, Voices of Baseball. We bring you the people that bring you the game.
It's always been diet and exercise. Why not diet, exercise, brush, and floss? Or how about diet, exercise, brush, floss, and see your dentist for regular exams? It may not roll off the tongue, but there are far worse things that could be rolling off your tongue, right down to your heart. Like the very same bacteria that's linked to heart disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and more. And by the way, to find a dentist nearby, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and learn more about how oral health links to overall wellness so you can live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.